Thank you. I'm doing part six in my series. I got enough for at least part seven. I keep saying that every week, but, you know, we just keep going. I want to encourage you, if you missed one of those messages, they build on each other. They all glue together like Lego blocks. How many people love Lego blocks? They build each one. So if you go to our website under resources, and there's our series in there. And if you have trouble getting the volume on your phone for video, some of the older phones, including mine, are not able to hear the audio on the videos. But if you go directly to our website, you can hear the audio without any problems. But if you missed them, go back, because I am building and building and building and get a really firm foundation. Well, they've already prayed, so we're going to jump in. All right, speaking of cell phones, how many of you have a cell phone? Okay, raise your hand if you have a smartphone. How many people don't always feel smart enough to use your phone? I'm 38 years old, and there's so many things that my phone can do, but I don't exactly know how to do them yet. How about wave your phone if that's the case? So if you think you use maybe 10% of all your phone's capabilities, so think about people that only do calls and texts for a long time. That's maybe 10%. How many people know that, right? But there's fancy things. And when I say fancy, it's not even just the weather app. Okay, all right, tell me, somebody shout out a really fancy app, something really fancy you can do on your phone. Look at that crowd participation. Let me tell you, my youth group, they're so young. All right, I'm going to call it Franny. What's something fancy you can do on your phone? TikTok. That's right. Right? And how many people have no idea how to get TikTok on their phone and don't have it? Okay? Right? All right, give me another fancy thing on your phone. So, okay, there we go. That's right. Numbers are pages on your iPhone. That's Tiffany. She's got a really great one there. Okay. Come on, Lane. Now Lane's head of our tech department. What's the fanciest thing you can do on your phone? There's lots of things. That's a my kind of answer. Okay. So God has given you, when you became a son and a daughter, which we truly tried to cover that, of God's, when you asked Jesus into your life, he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he said, when he came, the kingdom of God came here onto earth. And it says in the Bible that the kingdom of God is within us, right? So we talked about being a son and a daughter. And when you're a son and a daughter, you have a spiritual inheritance. So think about it this way. On your cell phone, we've been given all this power, all this ability, but if we don't know how to access it, we miss out, right? And sometimes, if you're like me, I call myself kind of tech-tarded, because really, it's not that I'm not smart enough for my smartphone. I just don't put the time and energy into learning how to use it, right? How many people fall into the same category as me? So think about it like this. Like, what if someone wrote you a check, a blank check? How about this? A blank check. We like blank checks. Now, some younger people don't have checks, but you know what they are. So they write you a blank check, and they say, you can access up to $1,000. Okay? But what if you only access, what if you only go withdraw $100 of it? We'd be like, really? How many people would do that? They don't feel good enough for the $1,000 gift. So they only, oh, that's okay, thank you so much, I'm just going to use $100 of it. So it's the same way with our spiritual power and authority that Jesus gave us in his name. Many of us, number one, we're not reading the manual. I hate reading manuals. Sometimes I'll ask people in my life how to do something on my car, and they encourage me, hey, it's in your manual. My mom says that too. And so I go dig it out of the glove box, and I'm like, okay, what type of fluid do I need to get so I don't wreck my vehicle? Okay, so it's the same way. This is the user's manual to life. And he's given us power and authority, but we're going to have to read to see, number one, what we have access to, and number two, how to access it. Otherwise, we're going to believe the lie from the enemy that our prayers are not working, or prayer doesn't work. How many people have wrestled with a thought, they've been praying and praying, praying for something, and they just quit because it's not working? But sometimes, it's just a matter of tweaking how we pray. How many people work with machines? All the parts are there, you know, and maybe the fuel's in there, but you don't know how to use the machinery, or you kind of forget to flip this one switch. So today's title is Keys to Kingdom Prayer. Probably part one. In my Authority and Action series. So have you ever thought, do my prayers ever really make a difference? Maybe I'm praying and praying and praying, but I haven't seen it happen yet. And I couldn't pick better songs today to tie into my lessons, or a perfect testimony of the power of prayer. Because sometimes, you know, many of us are praying, but our mindset is, number one, we're not worthy of that answer, or we don't know if it's really working, or we're just begging God for something he already gave us. Or how about this one? You know, sometimes the only unanswered prayer is because he called you to do it. God, will you please do this? Please do this. Please do this. Please do this. He's like, I sent you to go do that. Will you please stop him? Stop asking for someone else to do it. You got situations in your life, coworkers, person in your neighborhood. God, fix them. God, fix them. God, get them. God, send somebody. God, get them good. God, send somebody to him. And he went, you wonder why you're not seeing it. Because deep down the inside, we're ignoring that tug that says, I sent you. You go pray for them. You go bring heaven to earth. So speaking of heaven to earth, all right, so we kind of left off, and I really took a sidetrack on my notes because I realized this concept of the kingdom of God is something I'm continually learning because it's an everyday thing. It's like, who is Jesus? It's an everyday learning kind of thing. So I want to encourage everybody to dig into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because Jesus preached one thing more than anything else. He preached the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is within you. Watch what I do. Watch what I say. Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God, and he taught us how to bring heaven to earth, right? Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, I want you to get a kingdom mindset. I want you to know what the kingdom of God is, and I want you to learn how to bring heaven to earth. In other words, is there cancer in heaven? No. John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But do you know that's one of the number one things that Christians get messed up is there is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Everybody say, lie from hell. Lie from hell. Is that Satan, excuse me, they try to say someone else. They try to say God gives you a sickness to teach you a lesson. That's baloney. Everybody say, baloney. But they ain't reading this thing in context, especially with the New Testament. You got me? And Jesus over and over again clarified, it is my will every time, all the time to heal you. Right? But how they pray is, oh God, if it be your will you please, I beg of you, please heal this person. And he goes, hello, I'm a good father. A sadistic father would inject them with a virus to teach them a lesson. They take kids away from parents like that, right? A good father gives good gifts, good things, and will protect and provide, even if we're dumb kids. How many people, sometimes your kid does something really silly? All the time. You know, they pooped their diaper and then Picasso'd it all over the wall. You are not happy with that situation. It stinks. It's a mess. We clean it up. But you still love your kid. And you're not going to give him a sickness to teach him to never do it again. That's crazy talk, right? Is there cancer in heaven?
No.
Is there depression in heaven?
No.
Is there anxiety in heaven?
No.
Is there poverty in heaven?
No.
So that's not God's will for your life here on earth. And our job is to bring what's in heaven to earth because the kingdom of God in heaven, the Bible says, is inside you. And this key point is where I'm going because I'm going to just teach us how to, I'm going to tweak some prayers. So speaking of this kingdom in heaven thing, all right, everybody turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to do 18 through 20 or 18 through 19, and I'm going to kind of, you can just write on the corners or you can flip over. So Matthew 16, 18 through 19, and then write down Matthew 18, 18 through 19. So when Jesus hit something really hard two times in a row, how many parents? It's about reputation, right? Tell your kid over and over again, I'm just going to keep telling you, I'm going to tell you nice, I'm going to keep telling you nice till you eventually get it, right? Or how many people with math? Math is a little hard for my brain, so I need a lot of repetition. I need someone to teach it to me over and over again. I need to practice it. So if Jesus keeps repeating the same thing, it's got to be really important. So Matthew 16, 18 through 19. I'm going to turn back in my notes. Okay. It says, Jesus said, on this rock, the rock is Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail or overcome it. I will give you the keys, everybody say keys, of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. Now, You know hair-splitting personalities? They drive me nuts. You know, they just want to pick apart every single word. And listen, if you had an hour, I could pick apart every single word in this and go to the original Greek and Hebrew. So let me tell you this. I don't want you to get stuck on binding and releasing. I want you to get a concept here. Bad stuff, tell it to go. Good stuff, pray it down. Does that make sense? Or I could spend 45 minutes talking about the original Greek word for bind and release. But let's just jump ahead. Okay, everybody say jump ahead. Bad stuff, we tell to go. Good stuff. So fathers and mothers, good parents, if there's something bad, we tell it to go. Okay? If there's something good, we're going to give good things to our kids. So this is a really key principle to prayer. So in I'm going to use Sherry and Keith here. Bad stuff's cancer. Not God's will. Ever. To give you something bad to teach you a lesson. So what do? We tell cancer to go. Because cancer's not in heaven. Follow? Depression. No. Don't say my depression. This is a generation that is claiming it because it's popular on social media. Okay? How many people have wrestled with it? It's okay. You might be wrestling with it right now. That's okay. But don't say it's yours. Because I don't plan on keeping it the rest of my life. Because it came from Satan, right? So depression and anxiety, it's real, it's legitimate. But I'm not keeping it. Don't call it my cancer. Don't call it my diabetes. You want to keep it? Who'd it come from? Satan. Is it in heaven? No. So his will is for you to be free from it. I don't believe in lying. There's nothing worse than cheesy Christians. How you doing? Bless God, glory to God. Shake and run it over. Fantastic. I cried myself to sleep last night. I cried on the way to church. I hate my life. You know, you can be honest. I am wrestling with depression right now. I am wrestling with anxiety right now, right? Because we need to know the truth so we can set them free with God's ultimate truth, right? Which is he's freed you from it. You follow me on that one. Okay. So let's look at Matthew chapter 18 through 19. So you kind of flip over in your Bible and Jesus goes, hey, by the way, truly, truly, as in pay attention, just if you keep repeating it as a parent, it's because your kid's not getting it yet, right? So he's repeating it again. And he kind of comes from another angle and he says, truly, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree with anything you ask, according to his will, which is his, how do I know God's will? Word. And read it in context, because a lot of goofy churches out there will take one scripture out of context to the culture and to the people that was written to with all the backstory. How many people have been misquoted? You know, what's going on in some nasty political things is people get quoted out of context. And then they smear them and try to destroy them because they took one sentence out of context and twisted it around, right? And that's what a lot of churches, they mean to do well, right? But they just Satan uses it. They misquote the scripture out of context and we get it all twisted, right? So let's read the whole Bible cover to cover. Start in the New Testament, then go back in the New. Read the chapter behind it and the chapter ahead of it and put it in context, right? All right, so if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you in my Father, done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. This is the power of the prayer of agreement. So how many people have had a really rough day and they came to church simply to say, I need someone to fight by my side? Or how about this? What if you had the best week of your life? You come to church because I'm going to go encourage someone and stand with someone. Divided we fall, united we stand. People, the reason why people don't come to church, they watch TV church, that's not TV church. Church is a gathering together of believers. TV church is just teaching, and we need that, right? Because some people can't gather with us right now. So they're going to need the phone call. Your phone call is being the church. Maybe your Zoom Bible study is being the church. But there is power in, I don't do marathons. Like ever. I don't run for people unless someone's dying on the end. Like if I ran, someone better be dying when I got there. Excuse me, I'm not going to raise them from there. Let me say, there better be blood if you make me run. Like I'm not going to run a marathon for fun. I'm just not going to do it for fun. People ask me all the time for fundraisers. Like, here's your money. Let me give you $20. I'm not running your marathon. But if I had to run for life or death for someone's life, for a friend. So, you know, there's sometimes like those runs for, you have someone fighting cancer or something like that, and it's personal. I'm still gonna just give them money. But I don't wanna run it by myself. How many people wanna run it by yourself? I wanna run it with someone, right? Because it's more fun, the power of agreement. We are running for this one purpose together. And when you get really tired and I start wheezing like a cow, and I wanna quit and I want a water break every 10 minutes, my friend is gonna just go, come on, we're gonna keep going. So it is really important to pray with other people. So the key to prayer, and this is what I covered last week, is we need to remember that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All the good stuff he ever did, according to Philippians chapter 3, if you are the best goody-goody Christian your whole life, guess where it gets you? Nowhere. We don't get to heaven because we're a good person. If you made every stupid error ever and you borrowed the car, you borrowed it, didn't ask, and you crashed it, your parents still love you. They're not happy what you did. It hurt their heart that you didn't ask. You did it behind their back. But they're not cutting you out of the will, right? That's good parents. They're forgiving. They love you no matter what. So the good stuff you ever did, the bad stuff you ever did, Philippians 3 says, doesn't mean anything. It said in the Bible, it actually says a load of dung. My students love words like that. Doesn't mean anything. It says, my determined purpose is to walk with him, to be found with him, right? So if you don't have the mindset that I'm God's son or daughter no matter what I do when I've asked him into my life, you're going to have really powerless prayers. Follow me? So we're going to put some points, and this is my quick review of last week because we're going to jump ahead, and I'm going to give you some prayer strategies. Number one thing we need to remember for powerful prayers is remember that we are sons and daughters of the King and get a kingdom mindset because we are called to bring what? Heaven to earth. So what is the kingdom of God? And you'll get a We're going to learn for the rest of our lives what the kingdom of God is. And I'm going to try to weave it into messages. But the number one thing you need to know, it is God's government rule on earth through us. It is God's way of doing things. It's God's culture. It's his heart. It's how he operates, right? And the first purpose of the kingdom of God is to, number one, as sons and daughters, we need to just walk with him every day. Like Adam and Eve were created to do it in the garden. That means we open up this instruction manual, God's love letters to us, we spend time with him. Because, you know, when your life is so chaotic and you are in the middle of a really, really rough situation, sometimes it's hard to hear, but it's easier to just read and read and read the same chapter over and over again until your teared face can focus on one scripture that somehow highlights off the page. And God says, that's for you and that's for your situation. And the number two thing is to remember that the kingdom of God, our purpose is to administrate the kingdom of God on earth. And I talked about this last week. It's God's business, right? We're just to carry it out. He's the business owner. So Genesis 1:28 in the Amplified Bible says this, God blessed them, granting them a certain authority and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Subjugate it, putting it under your power, rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every living thing that moves upon the earth. It doesn't say dominate people, right? It basically says cultivate creation, bring the culture of heaven to earth, God's way of doing things. And number one, God is love, but he's also power too. And his power is always used, you see this in the Bible, to set people free. Jesus brought heaven to earth. He brought healing. He brought love. He brought joy. He brought peace. He brought the answer and released it everywhere he went. And when something funky and not good and demonic was bringing the opposite, he told it to go real quick. He didn't yell, he didn't scream, just in the name of Jesus, go. If healing was needed, he told the sickness to go. If peace was needed, he told whatever was making them anxious or fearful to go. And it was because he knew his father because he hung out with him all the time, right? So if we hang out with Jesus Christ, he said, I'm just like my dad. Hang out with me, you'll get to know him. When you use my name, you can bring heaven to earth. love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, self-control, healing, freedom. That's called being a powerful Christian. If you're a Christian that brings anxiety into the room with you because you're freaking out about things, and what if this happens, and what if that happens, and what if this happens, and what if the government implodes, and we have to live in caves, and I run out of toilet paper, there's some people I unfollow, right? Because it's the end of the world every 10 years. Every 10 years, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and they're actually bringing fear and torment and anxiety, and like we already have to deal with all that from Satan. Why am I getting that from Christians? I stopped reading your post. People are like, do you follow me? Don't ask me that question. It depends what you're writing. All right. So the purpose, and I talk, we're just going to jump ahead. So you feel where I'm going. Please listen to last week's message. Jesus came back and took the keys of the kingdom of God that we lost with Adam and Eve because they wanted to do their own thing their own way. And Satan just started ruling and wreaking havoc. And he took the authority back from Satan and gave it back to us when we give our lives to him. You follow me? So if that was a little too fast for you, I need you to go listen to the other five messages because we got places to go. We're going to talk about prayer. All right. Anybody ever heard the term spiritual warfare? And I don't know about you, but I work with young adults and students that most of them were not raised in church. So I'd say that, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, good, okay? Because it got really twisted in churches. So this concept of spiritual warfare is, let me tell you the goofy version of it. They think that I got to get really, really emotional for God to hear me. And Jesus addressed this and he says, hey, you know, the pagan world and other people that don't worship the one true God, they think they got to yell and jump and scream. And gosh, back then they'd even cut themselves to get their false God's attention, do horrific things. They would actually sacrifice their children. Crazy. That's demonic. And he said, why are you emulating them? Why do you think you got to get all emotional for me to hear you? Do you have faith? Do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Do you believe in me? That's all you need. So you don't got to hoop and you don't got to holler and you don't got to beg God for something for 5 hours. You don't have to have a banner and do a dance. You don't have to blow a horn. Those are symbols. They're Old Testament symbols. You got me? But you don't need that to get something done. Follow me on that one. All you need, God is moved by your faith, not by your need, not by your emotions. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous person avails much. I'm going to teach that later. But what does that mean? Your prayers are effective when you believe in your sincere heart. You don't got to scream. You don't got to shout. So let me put it this way. So in my family, my parents, great parents, they weren't perfect, but they chose to raise us without yelling whenever possible. And the truth being is because they were in situations in life where screaming and yelling was a normal thing. And they knew what that damage can kind of do, right? So, now, it doesn't mean my parents never yelled, okay? But they worked really hard to try not to be that. That wasn't our normal, you know? So, it's interesting, as parents, we were also we didn't talk back, let me tell you. there was something about my parents when they said, knock it off. Did they need to yell? Did they need to scream? Did they need to blow a trumpet? Did they need to get tambourines and go to get you? No. I saw the look in their face. Knock it off. How about this in public places, right? Public places. You just got the look. Right? You know the look. The stink eye. What are you doing? Knock it off. It's always good to have a friend like that because I can be real embarrassing. Just if you've ever been my friend for a long time, I'm kind of a big personality. Big personalities keep talking until they get themselves in trouble. And I had this friend named Micah, and she was from Texas, and she was a lady. And she was really good at giving me the look right when I started getting embarrassing. She was like, stop talking. She'd give me this look. I was like, thank you. Reeling it in. All right, so when you tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit, he'll give you that look like, stop, you're doing some damage. The way you're ranting and raving and complaining or gossiping, that's going to do damage. Knock it off. Okay. So by relationship with our parent or our best friend, we don't have to scream and shout. It's all based upon relationship to get something to stop, right? So hear this in prayer. If something big and ugly is coming your way, maybe there's a medical report coming from the doctor, Do I need to scream and shout and jump and dance and, you know, beg God for, I don't know. You know how people can really drag it out. You don't need to do that. Because what that says is, I don't really know my relationship with Father God through Jesus, his son, my big brother and best friend. Okay, does that clarify a little thing? All right. Because why? Because number one, first of all, it's spiritual warfare, this term. If you read in Ephesians chapter 6, this is kind of where they get it from, but I want to give clarity. Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 14 in the Amplified says this. Ephesians 6, 12 through 14 in the Amplified. For our struggle, how many people have been struggling? Let's be honest, it's not been the easiest year, 2020. Thanks. Our struggle, there's a term with young people, it's called the struggle is real. Our struggle is not against people, flesh and blood, although we want to make it like that, because some people try to make your life feel like hell, but it's not the person, it's Satan and the spirits operating through that person. Hurting people will hurt people. Okay. How many know bullies? Bullies are normally the most insecure people in the entire world, but they're jealous of you and they want what you got. Maybe you have peace, maybe you have good parents, whatever it is, and they would just target you. It wasn't that they're so powerful and strong, right? They're jealous. And these spirits, Satan is jealous of you, and I talked about it last week. Why? Go back and listen to the message. Okay. We're not contending. Our fight is not with physical opponents, but it is against the rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So be very careful how you pray in political seasons. It's not the person. It's not that representative. What? It's the wrong voice that they're listening to. So you better release truth over them and break off lies. God, this particular political person, I may not really like what they're saying or doing or what they represent or their party, but Lord God, I pray for them, because the Bible says to bless your enemies. I pray for them, and I break off lies from Satan. I break off anger, slander, whatever's working in their life, and I release your truth. Holy Spirit, reveal your heart of great love for them so they can follow you and read this book and find out your way of doing things on earth as in heaven and change their policies accordingly. Pray for people, not against people. Pray against the spirits that are affecting them. 13, Ephesians 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground. Everybody say, stand your ground. In the evil day of danger, having done everything that the crisis demands, stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground. I talked about this in my past weeks, but we live in a natural world. You can pinch your, that's physical, right? But there are spiritual things going on around you. And you don't have to be really, really loud and scream and be really, really emotional to get God to move. God is not moved by your need. He is not moved by your emotions. He is moved by your faith. And faith is built through relationship. The more we spend time with him, even if I'm battling something. I used to battle depression for years and panic attacks and anxiety. And what I did is I was knowing that what was not God's will for my life, it was not meant to be the normal in my life. And I would tell people when I was fighting it. I don't believe in lying to people. That's not going to help them pray for you. Right? But every day I would read, that's not his will for me. And I'd start reading the Bible and I would start putting my name in. Lord God, I thank you. You're revealing the length, the width, the height, and depth of your great love for me. I thank you. And I'd start seeing purpose in my life. You know, a lot of depression is purposelessness, or you feel lost. The empty internal ache and feeling trapped. How many people have felt trapped in circumstances or relationships so you can't be who God's called you to be? Well, guess what? God says, God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. If he's called you to be it, he'll equip you to be it. But we got to pray for the other people that might be opposing it. Okay, that's a rabbit trail we don't have time for. Okay, maybe next week. Okay. All right, so thank you, Lord. I'm focused. So what happens when you're under attack? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If he's trying to kill you through sickness and disease, if he's trying to steal peace, if he's trying to steal a relationship, a friendship in your life, if he's trying to just straight up destroy your mental health, that comes from Satan. That's the thief. So if a thief tries to break into your home, number one, it has no right or authority to be there. Kingdom of God. I'm God's kid. This is his kingdom. We understand democracy as American Christians. But you know, there's other countries that still have more of a monarch in there, right? So the kingdom of God, there is one ruler, and you don't get to vote on it. You don't get to vote on the kingdom of God's policies. They're all in here. Oh, you don't get to make your own policies, because that means you're not operating in the kingdom of God. Okay? So get this. The kingdom of God, you got to know when something's trespassing on your life. So if there is sickness or disease, it is trespassing on your life. It doesn't get to be on the king's kid. So what do you do? Like I said, thank you, Reeds, because this is a perfect illustration. A cancer report is not God's will. It is not allowed to be there. It is the thief trying to break into your house and steal, kill, and destroy. If it be your will, take away cancer. Don't talk like that. This is a powerless prayer. It is God's will to heal you. It's not God's will to give you cancer to teach you something. That's sadistic. Once again, that's evil. They lock people up like that. They lock parents up like that. That's evil. No, he's a good, good father. So think about this. If a thief, Satan, messes with a Christian, a son and a daughter of God, they're caught trespassing. You follow? Satan trespasses. Everybody write that down. Your property. How many people have property? I rent an apartment, so my property is very small, but it's still my apartment. But for you that have a house that live on a property, right? Or you have a car, that's your property. So if I'm a child of God, that's also God's property. And for you people of the 90s, you remember the GOP song? Yeah, sorry. Kirk Franklin, anyone? God's property. Fun times. Song going through my head right now. Rabbit. Shiny ball. Back on track. Here we go. So you're God's property. Satan's messing with you. So what do you do? What do you do? So to use a non-obvious example, we are citizens of God's kingdom. We also live in the United States of America. We have a very firm boundary line of the not only state boundaries, but national boundaries. So we have a neighbor called Canada. We're going to pick on Canada because we're just going to pick on Canada. Whatever. Canada's big and strong and powerful. Okay. But think about this. We think Satan's all big and strong and powerful. If Canada starts to press a boundary line, what if they go to Montana? How many people are going to resist us in Montana? We're going to go push into Montana. Okay, whatever. So what do you do? You kind of like, really? What does the government do? What does that state do in a national government? They go, really, Canada's trying to invade us? They are trespassing on a very firm boundary. There was a very firm boundary set when Jesus died on the cross. And he said, this is my son, this is my daughter. I don't care what they did in life or didn't do. They're my kid. You mess with my kid, you mess with me. Capiche? Capiche? You mess with my kid, you mess with me. How many people kind of found that out? Ellen, my friend over there, anybody messes with your kid? They mess with you and Jared. You want a piece of this? That's right, that's right. You're going to go down. Don't mess with my kid. So what do you do? So, and Canada is pressing a boundary of sickness and disease, of guilt, of condemnation, of shame, of emotional imbalances, of chemical deficiencies. My hormones are all over the place. You know, there's a lot of stuff that means not healthy right now, right? Not feeling too good. Satan is trespassing. So what do? You reinforce the kingdom boundary line. You know, they talk about drawing a line in the sand. Okay, so in... big families. Road trips, we would fight so bad that mom would be like, okay, this is the line down the minivan. You stay on your side, you stay on your side, no fighting. Capiche, capiche, okay? So there's a boundary line. I remember duct taping. Anybody got to the point of duct taping a line down your room with your sibling? There is a boundary line. You don't cross the line, we don't got a problem. You are God's kingdom. You're his son, you're his daughter. The boundary line was already decided at the cross. So if there is something that is not in heaven that is trying to press into your life, we pray. We don't have to fight for anything Jesus already won at the cross. The boundary line's there. You reinforce the victory. You reinforce the boundary line, and you remind Satan you're stepping. You have stepped across the line. Thief, you have been caught. Canada, you've been caught. And what do? You don't just go by yourself. Hello, church body. You bring the family. Are we talking mafia or kingdom? I don't know right now, but why not? Let's go a little Italian. We had Italian this weekend for dinner. All right, so you bring the family. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us, okay? We also bring the army of God, and we as a church body surround. We surrounded the Reed family. We said, we got your back. Number one, this is a thief who's trying to steal and kill and destroy, and he has no right to be there. So we all are going to go line that boundary line and pray. How do we pray? Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We know. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, I know it is not your will for this person to have cancer. Lord God, I know it is not your will for them to be plagued with that imbalance for the rest of their life. God, the brain's an organ, right? Healing of the mind, just like healing of your broken toe. We just tend to have a little more faith for the broken toe than the mind based on the reports we're listening to. So build your faith. Please share your testimony. God completely healed me from depression, anxiety, insomnia, and soul-crushing insecurity. I now do public speaking. Okay. Share your testimony. So you line the boundary line, you get the troops and the army of God in the name of Jesus. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. It is your will that we walk in complete healing and protection. It is your will that we don't get coronavirus. It is your will that we walk in divine health. Lord God, I thank you no matter what the reports and the media are saying. I don't care what Satan is trying to steal right now. This is the line. It's been blood bought, firmly written. And I'm bringing my family because we're stronger together. United we stand. Remember, it doesn't say, remember the warfare thing? Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I don't have to fight for something that was already won. The line's already drawn. I just stand. And that's why we need to be united as a church and united as a faith as Christians. Stop attacking people that don't believe like us. That means you're operating with the thief. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I command cancer, you go right now in Jesus' name. And I just speak to their white blood cells, God, and I thank you those white blood cells are booming. I thank you, Lord God, that this is moving and that's moving, Lord God. I thank you. I break off fear off this whole family in Jesus' name, and I release your peace. And I release your love that they know they deserve that. Not because of something they did, but because they're your kid. Thank you. So here's what we're going to do, because when we got a lot of notes we can do later. But we're going to practice what we preach, right? I want us to release the answer. There are situations that are going through your brain right now where Satan has been trying to steal your job, your finances, your relationships. Satan's trying to steal your mental health, your emotional health. He's trying to steal your sleep. And it's time to say, hey, thief, you've been caught. I know what my rights and privileges are. I know the boundary line. And now I'm going to go stand with my brothers, with my sisters, with my church family. And I'm going to break off the bad junk and tell it to go. And I'm going to remember what I have access to, the good stuff in God, the fruits of the Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to read that. It's in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace. Everybody stand up. Because I want you to pray over your life. And listen, you're probably sitting with people that know your life. And if they don't, you're lying. So be honest instead of saying, how you doing? Fine. Just fine. Everything good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm great. Stop it. That's pride. So if you're sitting beside somebody, that means they're probably your friend or your family, because I know we're social distancing right now. So I want you to be honest. And I want you can do one of two things. If you want prayer, so someone that's already beside you, right? We're social distance on here. Okay. If you are a grow group leader, if you're a grow group leader or a ministry director, please keep your mask on and come forward, and we will have prayer teams up here that you can pray with. So So come on up. So in the meantime, I'm going to just name some things that Satan is trespassing in. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. And I also want to encourage you to pray honest prayers with each other, around each other. So if the grow group leaders, come on up front. If you're a ministry director, men's ministry director, usher director, come on up front. We're going to pray for you. Put your mask on. So, if depression is plaguing your life, that is not your new normal. That is not God's will for your life. And we're going to stand with you. So if you, God, Jesus completely delivered me, freed me. If you have been fighting depression, raise your hand. We're going to pray with you. Okay, I see you. I see you. It's been a lot right now. If you are fighting sickness in your body or a fear of sickness, this whole coronavirus, and it is a real thing. It is a real disease. But if you're fighting fear of that sickness, or if you're fighting an actual medical report is going on in your body right now and some organs need to line up to the way God's called it to be, if that's you, raise your hand. We're going to stand with you. I see you. I got you. We know our rights and privileges, but we need people around us to remind us, stand with us, and pray powerful prayers. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, I just ask you to come up and pray with someone. Just come on up. We're going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray right now. And if you're at your seat, and I didn't name that one thing, listen, I want you to go pray with the person you came with. And once again, we're going to tell Satan he is trespassing. We're going to tell him to get out, and we're going to release the truth. So, Father God, just put your hands up towards heaven right now, because we're going to receive all that's in heaven in our lives by faith right now. And it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion, is it? It's when you can't see something, believing. Jesus already did it 2,000 years ago. The victory was already won. I don't have to fight for anything that was already won at the cross. I'm just going to say, Satan, you crossed the line. I know my rights and my privileges, and I receive the answer right now in Jesus Christ. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, you just lift your hands to heaven. I break off fear, a spirit of fear, off your children right now in Jesus' name. I break off anxiety and panic attacks right now in the name of Jesus. I break off depression and purposelessness and feeling trapped right now in the name of Jesus, whom the Son sets free, his sons and daughters, is free indeed. We just tell sickness, disease, germ, virus to go right now in Jesus' name. You are trespassing on a body of a son and a daughter of the Most High God. We were bought back, paid in full 2,000 years ago at the cross. Jesus took the debt. He took the bullet for us. He took the death penalty so we didn't have to spend our life in prison. And he let us go free. We're not on probation. Someone needs to hear that. In the world system, which is not the kingdom of God, you do the crime, you pay the time, and then you're still on probation. Everybody's rubbing it in your face, rubbing it in your face. Guess what? That's not the way God's kingdom operates. God's kingdom says, Jesus went to jail for you. Jesus took, he sat on the electric chair for you. He took the injection for you. He took the bullet for you. He paid the price. Now get out of jail. Get out of jail. He's already paid it for you. He broke off the chains. You don't have to hold on to the chains of guilt and shame haunted by your past. He says, I broke it off. Now get out of jail. And some of you need to forgive people because you keep reminding them of their mistakes. And that is operating from a different spirit. That's not kingdom mindset. That's letting a spirit. Jesus says he took shame to the cross. Do not shame people. That's not of God. And if you're reminding someone of their past all the time, you're fighting on the wrong side. So you just need to ask God to just forgive you right now. Lord, we break off shame. And we just thank you. We're paid in full. We're not on probation. We are your sons and your daughters. Clean slate. The Bible says, in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. Old things are passed away, dead and gone, 6 feet under. All things in my life are new. If you need a fresh start right now with God, Maybe you've never given Jesus your life. Maybe you did a long time ago, but you've been walking not with him and you want to get back with him right now. Raise your hand. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray that prayer. So just repeat after me. We're going to pray it as a church family, right? Because sometimes it's hard to pray that prayer by yourself. And you know what? When you talk to your mama, you talk real simple, right? Because she loves you. So we're going to talk to Father God. I don't care what your natural earthly father relationship was like. He's a good father and he loves you. So repeat after me. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you for forgiving me. Everything I ever did that hurt your heart, I know you forgave me. I receive that. Jesus, I give my life to you. Make me more like you. Reveal your heart to me, your purposes, and your plans. I receive your unconditional love. Amen. The kingdom of God is simple. We're sons, we're daughters. It's free, it's based on faith. And now I commission you, church. It's time to pray with a kingdom mindset. It's time to set people free. It's time to preach the kingdom. No more hiding anymore. The world needs you. Amen. So as they pray, as we sing this song, I just want to say this. You are dismissed, but the altars are open for people to pray with you. Maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time. They're just going to give you a little book that kind of just describes some of the things that we talked about. If you would like some prayer for a situation where Satan is crossing a boundary, let's do the marathon together, hey? Because sometimes it's a year, right? And you need to not quit. And we will make sure you don't quit. We'll stand with you. We will stand united with you. Amen. Well, I love you guys so much. Like I said, we're just going to keep an atmosphere of worship in the sanctuary as they just play a little bit. You guys are dismissed. And actually, we're not going to sing. We just play. But the altars are open. Praise God. I love you guys. See you next week.